Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
The DSPCA are urging pet owners not to forget about their dogs as we go back to the office. Kate Fitzsimons is a senior dog trainer with the Dublin Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, and she says she has never experienced so many calls as she has had this week. Obviously this week we were told we could start going back into the office, so there's a lot of people who probably find themselves having to leave the home for the first time in 2 years, and maybe your furry friend is at home going, what the hell is going on? Where's my mate gone? So Kate's on the line now. She's going to share some tips with us. If you have any questions out there for her, please text them into us. This is your chance to get them answered on 51552. Kate, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm excellent. How are you?
Good. Thank you very much.
Now, Kate, I mentioned it there. You've been inundated with calls. Mm-hmm. So what are, I suppose, let's start with what are the most common questions and requests that you're getting?
Like at the moment, like for training, it is people going back to work. It is the dogs. Oh God, they're used to me being there all day, and you know now, or they don't normally like when I go out just to the shops. What are they going to do when I'm out all day? And that side of it. In, I also work in the pet hotel and the boarding and the daycare facility as well. That's where people are going, oh, I've made a booking, I've made a holiday, people are allowed to go away now. So I think they're kind of really this year amping it up. So they're trying to book right up throughout the year. And then it's the daycare as well. People are looking into that as an option, which is a brilliant option if you are going back to work, to have your dog out and about for the day while you're at work to, you know, help keep them occupied and tire them out and everything. So it's a case of putting a plan in for your dog, really. Let's see how the routine is going to change and just get the options in now. See what the best option for you and your dog is, and what's going to be the most smooth transition for them. Dogs are all about routine. They love consistency. They love knowing what to expect. And when that changes, that can cause, you know, a little bit of upset, a little bit of stress. And that's when we can see that destructive or whining or crying behavior, because they're not used to what's happened. So we want to make that as smoother transition for them as possible, and not make it this big upheaval that used to be there all day and now you're gone for how many hours.
So, Kate, do you find, you're obviously, if the most amount of calls are coming in this week, does that mean a lot of people might have left the kind of the prep work for going back to work a little bit late? I mean, because what I did before I went back to work, now I got advice on this. I got a dog at the, I think it was the very start of the pandemic. And so what I did when I started going back to work was I kind of gradually was increasing how long I was out of the home during the day for about over the course of 2 weeks. So as I didn't just randomly disappear on her.
Yeah. Yeah. And to be honest with you, that would be in an ideal situation what you want to do. You want to gradually get it longer and longer, but it's something you can do, you know, around the house. It doesn't have to be necessarily if you leave. You can do it to create their independence from you, like go up and have a shower, make sure they're downstairs and give them something nice and tasty. It can be something, you know, really just day to day, start making it normal that they don't follow you completely around the house all day. Or when you're having your breakfast, that they are in the kitchen, you know, when you're in the sitting room or whatever it is, kind of create a little bit of separation. If it is something, it's something that's never too late though. Doing some work on it is better than none. So if it is, you're going, oh God, I'm going back in, you know, in a week's time and stuff like that, start putting the prep work in now. Start trying to prepare as much as possible. And whether that is going there in the likes of a daycare or a dog walker or something like that, so that there is some kind of, let's say you used to work from home and you used to do the 3 walks a day, trying to go, okay, if I don't have time to get them used to going down to 2, is there a way I can get that third walk done, you know, in a different way with someone else? And then prepping them to do something while you're away as well. A lot of dogs, but when they're home all day, then become bored and then start becoming destructive, chewing legs at tables and chairs and cushions and skirting boards and God knows what else. So if we give them something to do that's really nice and tasty, rather than giving them their breakfast in a bowl when you leave, so that it's gone in 30 seconds, that giving them in a, you know, in a Kong or in a chew toy or in, you know, a bowl that they have to roll around to get the food to fall out, give them something to do that's going to take them a while and that's going to use their brain. It's going to help tire them out as well, so that they are, you know, they're occupied while you're out, and also going to give them, you know, something else to do rather than chewing something.
Yeah, that's what I did. I got one of those things that there's loads of different things on it. It's some kind of a contraption and you put all the treats and food into it and she has to figure out how to get it all. And quite sure by the time she's figured out how to get one or two pieces of kibble, she's bloody exhausted.
Yeah, exactly. Doing something like that for about 15 minutes is the same as a 45-minute walk.
Oh, wow.
So if, let's say, dogs are bred to work, they're bred for a job, they also tire out very quickly when they're using their brain. So it's something that's really brilliant. Like, I have a collie who's absolutely crazy, would easily go 24 hours a day nonstop, and I only feed her from those kind of Kong things or, you know, enrichment feeders and stuff because she needs it. And she's actually what would normally probably be a very difficult dog to have in a household environment. She's brilliant because she's relaxed and chilled after she has her food and stuff like that. So it's definitely something I can see makes a huge difference in kind of the day-to-day life. And one of the things that any kind of dog that I'd be training and stuff like that, what I would introduce to them is enrichment, because a lot of, not even reminding or thinking about separation anxiety, but a lot of kind of difficult behaviours we're seeing is down to either boredom or excess energy, or they just may be a little bit anxious or stressed, and it's brilliant at calming your dog down and relaxing.
It's kind of like the same as a kid.
It's the exact same as a kid. It's very
similar. Like, if they're bored, they're going to start going crazy around the house.
Yeah, exactly. With a kid, if they start colouring on the walls, you go, okay, let's colour the colouring book instead. Dogs are the same. They chew something you shouldn't. Let's give them something to chew that's going to direct that energy and tire them out and give them something to do, which is what we want. We always want to focus on, rather than just telling our dogs, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that, we always want to go, okay, what can you do instead? This is good. This is positive. And a rewarded behaviour becomes a repeated behaviour. So if they get rewarded for chewing a Kong, let's say, because there's food in it, when the Kong comes out, they're going to go straight over to that and not onto something that, you know, is not as tasty, maybe.
Kate, you've mentioned once or twice there about doggy daycare and doggy hotels. I've never heard of this. What is that?
So doggy daycare is runs Monday to Friday up on site of the DSPCA. And it's basically off-lead socialising with other dogs and the staff as well are there, obviously. And that is from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and you're able to drop and collect your dog at any time between those hours, and they get to run around and play with other dogs.
That's amazing.
So it's a brilliant way of tiring your dog out. It's a brilliant way of getting them to do something. To be honest with you, it tires. We always recommend kind of doing nearly every second day, or if not, even just once or twice a week, because it tires them out so much that by the second day, they're still absolutely wrecked. So it's a great way to you know, if you have that really high energy dog that absolutely loves other dogs, a brilliant way of getting them to be occupied while you're out and about in work. And it is something we book about 2 to 3 weeks in advance for, so if it is something that you're looking to do, just make sure your date's in and start looking now. If you're going to go back to work in, let's say, a month's time, get their dates in now, just so that you're not trying to panic the night before and what am I going to do. Because for our daycare anyway, we book up you know, a couple of weeks in advance to just get your dates in. If your dog isn't into other dogs, we do have the service of day boarding, where they can come into the hotel for the day, they get walks and exercise, but it's just one-on-one with the staff.
But it's a great way to socialise the dog, apart from anything else.
Yeah. It is, like, it is something that not every dog is going to absolutely adore every other dog that they meet, and that's fine. There's something wrong with a dog that, you know, prefers human company, but they should be able to at least, you know, be able to walk past another dog and be comfortable, you know, near the presence of another dog without having a, you know, moment.
Freak out. Is it expensive, do you mind me asking?
It is €25 per day for the doggy daycare and €30 per day for the day boarding.
Okay, and what if, like, for example, what if getting there is a little bit out of the way for somebody? Are there alternatives or other options for people to have somebody look after the dog?
Yeah, there's lots of different kind of hotel boarding pet mind places in Dublin. What I would say is please do your research on it if you're going to look an alternative. There is no regulations in Ireland when it comes to daycares, pet minding, dog training, anything like that. Anyone tomorrow can say, oh, I'm setting up this, and run it in their back garden doing God knows
what. So there's no...
None.
Oh my
God. We're
very
unique because we're on site with the DSPCA. We obviously have a very high standard to live up to, and we are regulated and stuff like that. But there isn't for any other facility. So we can't recommend anywhere specifically because there isn't that regulation. There's no one monitoring anyone on what they're doing day to day. So it is something that, do your research, ask as many questions as you want. Don't feel like you're being annoying. And if the price is too good to be true, it might be that case. So just make sure you know where your dog is going, what they're going to be doing during the day. And if it is a boarding facility you're looking at, make sure their dogs are housed individually at night. Dogs that are unfamiliar with each other, particularly over nighttime when they're asleep or they're tired, it can lead to problems if they're, you know, there's a puppy jumping on an older dog and stuff like that, just from a, I was asleep and someone jumped on me. I'm like, what are you doing? So it is important that, you know, your dog is in their own little area at night. And if they mix during the day, just make sure that, you know, the whoever is running them knows what they're doing. Or if it's the likes of a dog walker or something like that, again, just do your research and look for recommendations, look for photos where the pet's going to be and stuff like that.
Kate, it happens to be National Train Your Dog Month too. So
yeah,
if I was to ask you for just your top tips for a happy, okay, well-behaved dog.
Yeah. So first thing that I would always say is start as you mean to go on. So pick a, you know, what the dog's going to be expected. Sorry, that's my dog now getting very impatient that I'm talking. Just when I'm talking about National Dog Train Your Dog Month, it is something that I was like, look, if the dog's laid on the cage, that's fine. If the dog isn't laid on the cage from day one, make sure everyone's, you know, singing from the same hymn book, that they're all following the same set of rules so that the dog doesn't get confused and then start making mistakes. If the dog is allowed to jump up on you, that's totally your decision. I ask my dog to hug when I want to jump up on me because I don't mind it. But make sure that if it's not something you're going to allow, that when they're a small puppy or a younger dog, that, you know, it's not cute then, because it's not going to get cute very quickly. So just stick to kind of pick what they're allowed, what they're not allowed to do, and stick to that from day one. The second thing I would say is make it really clear for your dog what it is that you want. So we're always going to show our dogs what's expected from them. Training should be always a game where our dog is winning. If they're not winning, we're the ones that are doing it wrong. So we need to make it either slightly easier or clearer for our dogs. So if it is like they're not allowed to jump up, well, what do we want them to do instead? We want them to sit. So every single time anyone says hello to them, they have to have their bum on the ground and then they get to say hello. Or if it's they're barking out the window at the people passing, so okay, what can they do instead, rather than, you know, constantly tell them no, they're gonna be like, well, what do you want me to do? I'm bored out of my mind, and this is my TV that I'm watching. And they might start, you know, then redirecting it on to chewing or barking at the garden, at birds or whatever it is. So what can we get them to do instead, and whether that is some kind of enrichment or anything like that.
So redirecting the behavior, really,
hugely
rather than just shouting at them and saying no.
Yeah. Because then they're going to be like, well, what do you want from me? And they're going to then be like, oh, well, you're no crack whatsoever, so I don't want to listen to you. Whereas if we go, do you know what? This is actually a really good idea. This is really good. This is a lot of fun. And whether it's, you know, rather than feeding them from the bowl, like I said earlier, it's going, right, okay, try and find this. Or mixing up their toys so they only get certain toys in the morning and the other side of toys in the evening, to make it a little bit more exciting for them, so they have a little bit more kind of different things to do during the day.
I've got some texts and emails, mm-hmm, that have come in from people. Do you mind if I throw some questions to you, Kate?
Not at all. Not
okay,
at all.
So this one says, Kate, I have a 1-year-old French bulldog and he loves his sleep. The most I leave him is 5 to 6 hours on his own. When I return, the kitchen's the exact same and it looks like he hasn't even moved from his bed. Is this okay?
Yeah. Absolutely. Don't break what's, or don't fix what's not broken. That's perfect.
Okay.
Dogs have different energy levels than people. If he's totally just flaked out and asleep, that's fine.
Okay. Another one says, yeah. So this is from Aoife. She has a 1-year-old collie cross with an English setter and a Rottweiler. And she wants to know if getting him neutered will change his personality.
Not any research has supported that. The only thing we found is that sometimes it can take that intensity to go meet every single dog, and that kind of, that, you know, intense drive that they can sometimes have, that sometimes is alleviated. But it's not going to completely change them. It's not going to change how happy they are or how much they enjoy life or anything like that. And it just takes that kind of intensity and sometimes the frustration when seeing or playing with other dogs. And sometimes if they're on neuter, they will start you know, and that can lead to a little bit of frustration and stuff like that.
And also, my vet told me that getting them neutered can help prevent certain cancers. So it's actually good for the dog.
It is, yeah. A bigger dog like that, what they probably would do, wait until they're about a year, I think that you said she's about a year, year and a half now. So they would neuter at this stage, just because they want to make sure they're fully developed in terms of their growth plates and stuff like that. The bigger dogs, that will wait for until about a year. But it is something that there's a huge amount of health benefits from neutering.
Just because we're running out of time, I want to get one more question in, because there's so many of them. I have another listener asking, what's the right amount amount of time in between washing a dog? If your dog is at the beach, should you wash your dog more often?
It's one I wouldn't do too much. What's really good, if they're going to the beach, I live on the beach myself, so I know what it's like when they drag in a whole bunch of sand. But what you best thing to do is wait until they dry off, and then with a brush off the hair and the dirt, it will flake off.
I just wash my one when she smells.
Yeah. Like, it is one of those things that each dog can be slightly different. Dogs with oilier coats, like Labs and stuff like that, you don't want to, you know, wash too much.
But
you like... The likes of, you know, like the Shih Tzus or the Yorkies, the poodles, the ones that have hair rather than, you know, like the oily, like water dog coats, they don't have as much because they don't have that undercoat. So that they can probably done a little bit more often, but it's down to you as a family and where your dog is sleeping. But I just, it's not necessarily need to done like every week or anything like that. I would do it then.
As in, if they're in the bed with you like mine is, maybe wash them a little more often.
Yeah. Well, mine's in my bed with me, and I'm like, God, love her. I normally do it every kind of 6 weeks or so.
Okay. Well, listen, Kate, thank you so much for your call today. We've so many more questions because it's brilliant advice, and it seems like people are really looking for advice on this subject at the moment. So how can people contact you or maybe just find out even more information from you?
So all the information on the classes and the services that we offer on the DSPCA website. But if you're ever confused or don't have any more questions or not really sure what the best is for you, just give us a call and we'll be more than happy to answer whatever it is. We're on the phones, you know, 6 days a week, Monday to Friday and Saturday from 6 to 9. So we're there to answer and to help. And that's what we want to do.
So it's dspca.ie. The phone number is 01-499-4700. And for anybody that's outside the Dublin area, the ISPCA website, which is separate, is the ispca.ie. There's also dogstrust.ie. Kate, thank you so much for all the tips and advice. It's very much appreciated.
No problem at all. Thank you for having me. Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.